Somebody there, praise the Lord. I welcome everyone to this service after our Global Leadership Congress. You're welcome in Jesus' name. Amen. I welcome you from the old year to the new year. Amen. Happy New Year. Higher New Year. Amen. Harvesting New Year. Amen. Now, don't say an old amen. Give me a new year amen. Father, we thank you and bless you that you've kept us for this time, at this time, in this new year. Lord, for all the grace, all the provision, everything you made available, the water of life, the bread of life, and Christ, they're all in all for us. We're praying that in every life this year, you'll be glorified, adored, honored in every way, in every place, in Jesus' name. Amen. We thank you because we know you have answered. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You can sit down. We're coming to Deuteronomy chapter 11. And we're reading from verse 11. But the land whither ye go to possess it is a land of hills and valleys, and drinketh water of the rain of heaven. Verse 12, very important, underline this one. A land which the Lord thy God careth for. A land which the Lord thy God careth for. The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it. Look at this. From the beginning of the year, even unto the end of the year. Amen. You missed a new year, amen. From the beginning of the year, even to the end of the year. Beginning to the end. The covenant service in January. The messages are given in January, but the ministration, the power, the provision will continue to the end of the year. Amen. The presence of God, the power of God continues from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. Amen. What will be the result when the covenant blessings, when it flow from day to day, week to week, month to month, to the end of the year? Look at verse 21. In verse 21, it says that your days, so that your days be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. As the days of heaven. No lack in heaven, you on earth, no lack in your life. Amen. No pain in heaven, No sickness in heaven. No sorrow in heaven. There will be no pain, no sorrow, no demonic attack, no satanic infiltration. Because what the Lord is preparing us for in His covenant is so that our days on earth will be as the days of heaven. In Colossians chapter 2, reading from verse 9, Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, for in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Look at verse 10. In verse 10, and ye are complete in Him. And I am complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. Enjoying full covenant blessings throughout all your years. All my years. I want to do something today. I'm giving you the alphabet for the new year. Alphabet for the happy new year. If you want, now understand, anything you write, you use the alphabets. Any words you write, you use the alphabet. The history of your life will be written all over again. And a new history, a new joy, a new happiness, a new fulfillment. You write with the alphabet. That means A, B, C, D. And as you get all those consonants and all those vowels, well, thank God, the alphabet of a happy new year. The alphabets of abundance, the alphabet of a higher new year, the alphabets of a lifted life, a fulfilled life, a glorious life. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
Asking and receiving. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Ask and it shall be given unto you. There's no doubt. Jesus said, ask. Heaven is waiting for you to ask. And it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
In verse 8, for everyone that asketh, tell me, receiveth. Everyone, as God answers me, the same way He will answer you.
Amen.
And he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. A, asking and receiving. B, believing and realizing. B is, I believe. You ask, you believe. Ask, receive. Believe, realize. Mark 11 verse 22, Jesus answering says unto them, have faith in God. He never fails. Have faith in God. He is omnipotent, all powerful. He is omnipresent. He is with you there, anywhere you find yourself. And He's listening. He's giving you promises. Believe. believing and realizing. Look at verse 23. Verse 23 says, "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain," this year, in every place I go, I'll be saying to any mountain I find there, "Move." And this year, anywhere you go, any mountain you see, you'll not be kneeling before the mountain and cringing and crying, "Why this now? Why me?" This is the year of speaking to that mountain. That mountain will move out of your life in Jesus' name. Amen. What do you say to the mountain?
Move.
"Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe." That's the word. "Shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass. He shall have, you will have, I will have, we shall have whatsoever we say." In verse 24, verse 24 says, "Wherefore I say unto you, that what things soever ye desire, when ye pray," here is the word, "believe, and ye shall receive them." I will receive them. See, cleaving and reproducing. You know, when the bride and the bridegroom, when they come together and they cleave, they don't separate, they don't allow the middle wall of in-laws partition to come in between them. The cleaving brings reproduction. See, it's cleaving and reproducing. We're looking at Acts 11, verse 23. "Who when he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad." He saw the grace that brings salvation in their lives. He was glad. He saw the grace, sufficient grace, steadfast grace that makes them to stand and stand in the Lord. He was glad, and he exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they will cleave unto the Lord, that he is the bridegroom, you are the bride, and he wants, as the bridegroom cleaves to the bride, he wants you to cleave to the Lord. The Christian cleaving unto Christ, and fruit will come in your life. In John chapter 14, reading from verse 12, "For verily, verily, I say unto you, that he that believeth on me, the works that I do, he shall do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father." You know, this present year will be greater than the previous year. And the Lord is saying to you, cleave unto him. You believe in him, you live in him, you dwell in him, and he dwells in you. And you cleave so much that the Lord says your companionship with him, your partnership with him, will bear greater fruit this year. I see you shining brighter this year than last year. Cleaving and reproducing, decreeing and re-establishing. Decreeing and re-establishing. These are the benefits of the covenant is making with us. Look at Job chapter 22, verse 28. Thou shalt also decree a thing. You must give a good amen. You know, you allow people to speak into your life, and they're not speaking the promise of God, the power of God in your life. And yet, when they speak, you take their word as decree. You know, Mama said, the way I have lived, Mama said, she regrets I was born by her. And then she pronounces something, and you take that as a decree. There is no word from any man that will be a decree in your life. Yeah. God said, let my people go. Oh, Pharaoh said no. He had made a decree that Israel will be destroyed. No, I reverse that decree. And in the places you have been, the people, for one reason or the other, they transfer the hatred they had for your tribe. They transfer that to your community. They transfer that to your parents. They transfer that to you. They said, are you not the daughter of so and so? Are you not the son of so and so? And so they make a decree. And you've been carrying that decree about. Tear that decree into pieces today in Jesus' name. The final word is in your mouth. The word to succeed, the word to live a life that is fulfilled and totally satisfied. That word is not in the hand of your enemy. The word is in your mouth. Because thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy ways. Decreeing and reestablishing. Look at E. E is expecting while requesting. Expecting while requesting. You must expect, you must hope, you must look ahead, and your expectation will draw manifestation into your life. Jeremiah chapter 29. I'm reading from verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. The thoughts of God towards you cancels the thoughts of man towards you. The thoughts of the Almighty cancels the thoughts of the Antichrist toward you. We don't talk about them again. We don't think about them again, because God says, I know, I know, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace, peace in your heart. Peace in your home. Peace in your life. Not of evil, to give you an expected end. To give you an expected end. You are expecting while requesting. Look at verse 12. In verse 12, then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. Amen. Verse 13, in verse 13, and ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. F, feeling and refreshing, feeding and refreshing. In Job chapter 23, reading from verse 10, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he has tried me, examined me, I shall come forth as gold. You lost your amen. In verse 11, my foot hath held his steps, his way have I kept and not declined. Look at verse 12. Neither have I gone back from the commandments of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. What's necessary food? Your breakfast. And the man said at that time, the whole Bible was not even written yet. And even the part of the Bible that had been written had not been printed to put in the hands of everyone. But now we have the whole book, Holy Bible, and it's in your hand. And if Job were alive today, he'll be saying, I've esteemed the words of his mouth, all revealed in the Holy Bible, more than my necessary food. What was saying is that the word comes before the food, because the word is the food and the meal for the spirit and the soul, and the food is just for the body. And it says, no Bible, no breakfast. I must start my day with the bread of life, with the spiritual food, no Bible, no breakfast. It was saying, my necessary food, supper in the evening before I sleep. But he said, I must have the scripture before sleep. And when you have that as part of the alphabet of the new year, this year will be totally new. G, we're looking at giving and remembering. Giving and remembering. It tells us in Malachi chapter 3 verse 10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. I know you know that, but have you ever thought about it? If you pile currency up to the ceiling, but there are no people that are giving a tithe of their lives, a tithe of their time, a tithe of their gifts, a tithe of their ability. And we only give tithes of money, money, money. And the money is there, but the people that should contribute their time, their training, their talent, to make use of the money so we can build for God. The money is there that will send out missionaries. But the people who have given money, who have given money, yes, you've given money, you give, you might have to give your son to accompany that money so that your son will give service unto the Lord. And you know, you have to release your wife too to serve the Lord. And you know, there are some families, you know, my dear, I am already serving the Lord, I am already going everywhere, you stay back, and we cannot all be consecrated to the Lord. Did you hear the message this morning? There are places and there are people that the woman of Samaria could reach, that even Peter, even John, and the disciples that went to buy food, they may not be able to reach. But the woman said, come, see, man, that told me everything I ever did. Is this not the Christ? We give tithes of money. We have to give tithes of men. We have to give tithes of our ministers. We have quite a number of ministers. And you know, sometimes when you take some of our effective ministers and say, go to that nation, go to that nation, there are people that are resistant. The missionary is not resistant, he is willing, but their congregations, what did they take a pastor away from us, and they've sent him to, you know, a new place where we don't even have many members there. Now, the tithes of money that we give will not be very useful to the maximum if we don't give the tithes of our men to work, the tithes of our ministers to minister, and the tithes of, you know, all the people available. And he said, bring ye all the tithes into my house, into my storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, says the Lord of hosts, eighth, I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. I need an amen. Amen. That there shall not be room enough to receive it. Amen. Look at verse 11. In verse 11, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, says the Lord of hosts. Verse 12, and all nations. How many nations? Tell me out aloud. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, says the Lord of hosts. Each harvesting and regathering. Harvesting and regathering. He wants us to be involved in the harvest. And in John chapter 4, reading from verse 35, harvesting and regathering. Other sheep I have that are not of this fold, them I must bring, them I must gather, so that there will be one shepherd, one fold. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes for your, and look on the fields. Look, lift up your eyes and see, look on the fields. When he tells us to lift up our eyes, he tells us also what to look at, what to look for, and what to be involved and engaged in. He says, look on the fields, for they are white already for harvest. Verse 36, and he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth, look at that, and gathereth fruit unto life everlasting, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. I interceding and recovering. There are those who are backsliding, they've gone astray. You intercede to recover them. In 1 John chapter 5, Reading from verse 14. 1 John 5, verse 14. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. He heareth me. Your heart must be in your request. You know, sometimes somebody just pray now 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, and he prayed and prayed and prayed. And after the prayer, you ask him, what were you doing? I was praying. What did you pray for? I just prayed. The specific thing, the definite thing that you prayed for, I didn't think of that. Prayer, prayer, prayer is my thing, is my habit. And so habitually I pray. He wants you to have a definite request. And he wants you to remember so that when the answer comes, you'll be able to say, yes, praise the Lord. That's exactly what I prayed for. I don't pray with an absent mind. Don't pray with a forgetful mind. This is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Look at verse 15. In verse 15, and if we know that he heareth us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have, you have, you have, yeah. I have, we have the petitions that we desire. Look at verse 16. If any believer see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death. Brothers and sisters, ministers, men and women, will see people doing things, and some of the things they do we will not approve of in their lives, in their character. Brother, I heard that so and so did such and such. Well, he didn't tell us to gossip about that. He didn't tell us to blow it. He didn't tell us to put it on social media. It's like you've been waiting that he will miss a step. You've been waiting, you're catching with something, and as soon, you have not even verified, as soon as you hear, it happened, it happened, it happened, you're on to the social media, and you are publicizing, and you are destroying the soul. But if any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, you pray, you intercede, and don't count every offense as an unpardonable offense. Every mistake as an unpardonable mistake. And every sin as unpardonable sin. There are people that do that. I know that man. I know that fellow. I know that so-called believer. Look at what he did. Look at what he did. If any man see his brother sin his sin, which is not unto death, he shall ask, and God shall give him life. For them that sin not unto death, you will intercede. I said you will intercede. Amen. Interceding and recovering. J, judging and reflecting. Judging and reflecting now. The Lord said, judge not. How about that? Yes. Don't judge your neighbor. Don't judge your household. Don't judge your fellow brother, your fellow sister. But judge, righteously. That's John chapter 7, 24. But now it says we judge ourselves. Look at 1 Corinthians 11, 31. For if we would judge ourselves, I go through the day, and at the end of the day, I examine what I did during the day, from the waking hour to the retiring sleeping hour. I judge myself. I look at the week, and that's what God did. He looked at all his work, and he saw that it was good. You must look at your life, at your action, at your work, at your activities, everything you've done at the end of each day, at the end of each week, and you judge yourself. You examine yourself, and you call your own name. You say, William, you should have done better there. You should have spoken to that person. You should have encouraged that person. You should have lifted up the falling. Speak to yourself. If we judge ourselves, we should not be judged. We judge ourselves. We're looking at K here. K, kindness. Kindly and rebuilding. You know, you see somebody's life is shattered, his dream is shattered. The alphabet of a happy new year, the alphabet of a higher new year, the alphabet of an investing new year is that you'll be kind, you're kindly to everyone, and you're rebuilding. It tells us in Isaiah chapter 58, I'm reading from verse 8. It says, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily. You know, when you say amen, it means let it be so. In your life this year, let it be so. Amen. It is done. Amen. I said it is done. Amen. Thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. In verse 9, shall thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Amen. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. Heaven will listen to you. Amen. But look at the condition. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, you're kind. You see somebody bearing a yoke, you're kind. You take away the yoke, and they put him forth of the finger. You know, the accuser of the brethren, Satan, gets into some people, and they now do the work of Satan for him. And Satan is accusing people. You don't even know the head of the tail. You don't know the truth of the matter. And then you're pointing accusing fingers to the people of God, and to the person who is living the best he knows how in the grace of God. You take away that yoke, and they put him forth of the finger. And they're speaking of vanity. Look at verse 10. In verse 10, it says, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, that's it, your kind is hungry. You're not asking, why is he hungry? Is he walking? Why is he hungry? Is he doing his best? Why is he hungry? When all of us were, you know, walking, was he sleeping? No. When you think like that and try to give reasons why people are poor and why people are hungry, you will not be kind. But It's when you turn the table, you said, I could have been like him. I could have been like her. But God has blessed me. Not because of the great things I've done, but because of his mercy and grace and of what the Lord has provided for me, I give a helping hand and satisfy the afflicted soul. Then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. Look at verse 11. In verse 11, it tells us, and the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. My water will not fail. The stream will not dry. Loving and reuniting. Loving and reuniting. You look at yourself and you say, is there any person, solitary person on earth, I'm not willing to show love to? Am I like Christ, loving everyone? He loved them and healed them. He loved them and ministered to them. He loved them and spoke to them. Even the people that said, I am a Samaritan and you a Jew. Don't you know the tradition that stands between us? We don't speak together. Why are you asking me for a glass of water? Even the people that don't appreciate you speak to them yet, because Christ lives in you and the love of Christ lives in you, you talk to them. If you had known and you had seen what I could do, I would give you living waters. Because you come here, you come here, you come here drawing water. And if you ask me, I'll give you the water you'll never, never, never thirst again. And the fellow misunderstood what Jesus was saying. And you say, I can't talk to them. They misconstrue my word. They misinterpret my word. They apply my word. Jesus, love them. Jesus didn't say that. He spoke again, convincingly, until the woman said, give me this water that I will not come back here to draw again, because he said the water will be a well inside you and will be flowing and flowing. This year, the water of life will be flowing and flowing through you. And Jesus, now give me this water. And Jesus said, you know what? You know what? Your life is so bad and so dirty that before I can give you that water, you know, the water doesn't come for prostitutes, for harlots. No, never, not Jesus. You know, when you use some words, either in the absence of the woman or in the presence of the woman, if the word is what cuts and pierces, that's not love. But Jesus said, madam, go call your husband. Go call your husband. You know, Jesus was driving home the point, but he said it in love. And the woman, you know the story. The Lord wants us this year. Anyone you are interacting with, anyone you are talking to, or anyone you are talking of, in their absence, in their presence, you are loving and reuniting. We're looking at Ephesians chapter 4. I'm reading from verse 2. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. forbearing one another in love. Look at verse 3. In verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Look at verse 15. In verse 15, but speaking the truth in love. Speaking the truth in love. May grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Meditating and remembering. Meditating and remembering. It's not what we hear that makes the year a happy, higher, a vesting, new life. It's what we retain in our heart of what we have heard. And that's the reason why we meditate and we remember. It I say in Psalm 143, verse 5. Psalm 143, we're looking at verse 5. Remember the days of old. Meditate on all the works. I muse, I think, I meditate on the work of thy hands. It's when you bring back the word to yourself. You meditate on the word. You don't just come to service, you've gone home and you forget. And then you come the following Sunday and you forget. You come the following service time and you keep on hearing and forgetting, hearing and forgetting. You're meditating and remembering. Look at verse 10. In verse 10, teach me to do thy will. You meditate, you remember, you do. You do. And you tell the Lord the previous times. I just come to hear. I put it in my notebook and then it stops there. But now, teach me to do thy will. For thou art my God. The Spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Brighter things for you this year. And networking and reconquering. Networking, networking, networking and reconquering. You cannot do it alone. Think about this. The clothes you wear, you couldn't have gotten the raw material. You know, some people brought the wool from the field and they brought it to the factory. They sorted things out. They wanted to color, they color them, and then they go to the weaving side and they weave that into cloth material. Doesn't stop there. You buy that material. They had to transport that material to the shop. You got there, and getting there, you have to go to the tailor, the seamstress, and then they have to sew. You see many hands that produce one single shirt. The shoe you wear, you see the many hands, the thing has to go through before it becomes the shoe you can wear. The food we eat, somebody planted, somebody reaped, and they bring that from, you know, the farm, and they transport it to the market, and then somebody has to get that and sell that to you, and then you take that food, and somebody has to cook it, and then somebody has to serve it. You see the many people. It's networking, and the same thing in our lives. The success we have, the upliftment you have, and the fulfillment of the calling of your life. There are many other people that must be involved with you. Networking and reconquering. It says in 2 Samuel chapter 10, verse 11. And he said, if the Syrians be too strong for me, then thou shalt help me. That's networking. But if the children of Ammon, be too strong for thee, then I will come and help thee. We will walk together. We will network together. Amen.
Amen.
But you know what? When you are networking together, you don't look at your differences. You look at complementing each other. Look at that farmer that went to plant the seed. And look at the cook, the chef at the restaurant. Look at how they dress, the farmer, the chef. They're totally different. The knowledge of the sower, of the planter, and the knowledge of the chef that cooks the food, they are totally different. They're training where they're coming from. They're totally different. Their gender, different. The one planting may be a man, and the one, the chef, the one cooking may be a woman. You know, sometimes when you don't understand networking, oh, you see people like that who dress different from who we are. People like that, that's a woman. Can you call a woman to come and, you know, talk to us here? Why not? Of course. You'll do that. I'm keep watching. I said keep watching. You didn't answer me. I said keep watching. Women sing and women pray. You didn't say amen to that one. Women pray and women preach. I said women preach. And you know, when you understand that when we're networking together, what I can do, maybe she cannot do. What she can do, maybe I cannot do. And you understand here, we have children church choir. We have youth choir. We have campus choir. We have adult choir. We have the YPF young adult choir. We have all of them. And yet, you know, today we're networking together with our Australian music artist. Was that all right? I said, was that all right? You know, you have some crow in your hand, you can't clap. Praise the Lord. Maybe you are wondering, after we went through a, you know, regular thing, and I kept on standing, you know, sitting down there. Get up now, Pastor. No, I want to be refreshed by other speakers. And so, at the key, might be different style, might be different approach, and might be different way of delivery, but we're networking together. No single man, no single church, no single denomination can fulfill the Great Commission. It's going to take the whole church, taking the whole world and sending forth that word to the whole world. Give me a good amen.
Amen.
Maybe you are surprised this morning when we got started. You know, the person that is moderating today in the service, all our reps are there, our own moderator here in Lagos is there, and our pastors and group pastors, seasoned people, they were there, but we brought our global moderator that helps us look into GCK globally. And we said, since he was in our Congress, we're going to have him to handle the service today. And I've seen that was great. That was all right. Was it all right with you? That's networking. Such the scripture teaching to this morning. We, you know, we have the regular people. In fact, we've even assigned the person to teach today. And then we said, you know, the person who was to teach, excuse us, we're always together, your chance will come. And we brought our national overseer from Angola. And to teach the search, the scripture. Was that all right?
Yeah.
Or did he teach you false doctrine?
No.
What I do, we have thousands who can do. And because of that, we network together. I said we network together.
Yeah.
And our ministry, our outreach, is going to have more and more and more networking in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Oh, obeying and redoubling. Obeying and redoubling. That is, if you see me as I'm taking up, it shall be so. Because he was asking for double portion. And they went on and they were talking and talking, and the chariot came from heaven and took Elijah away. And he said, my father, he saw him, he obeyed. Obedience will double the blessing of God upon your life in Jesus' name. Second Kings chapter 2. Just obey. Just obey is the way, God's way. When his message comes to you, there is but one thing to do. Just obey, just obey. If a mansion's on high, your side. If you want to go there, get there eventually. There is one thing to do. Never ask the reason why. Never put the message by. There is one thing. Just obey. Just obey. Just obey. Just obey. It's the way, God's way. When his message comes to you, it's not just true. Look at the message and analyze the message and brush up the message and do whatever. One thing, just obey, just obey. Obeying and redoubling. In 2 Kings chapter 2, reading from verse 9. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. He got it, you will get it. P is pursuing without relenting. Pursuing without relenting. Judges 8 verse 4. Judges 8 verse 4. And Gideon came to Jordan and passed over, he and the 300 men that were with him. Faint, yet pursuing them. Faint, yet pursuing them. That you're pursuing and pursuing, and you do not relent, you do not give up, and you do not say, that's enough, I am tired. You will not be tired.
Yeah.
Q is qualifying without retreating. To retreat is to walk back. Is to go back. But You're qualifying yourself. You're qualifying yourself so that you'll be going higher. You'll not come down. You will not retreat. You will advance in Jesus' name. Isaiah chapter 40, I'm reading from verse 31. It says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Are running without regretting. Running without regretting. As you're running the race that is set before you, you're not thinking, you know, so and so is not with me. Am I doing the right thing? You're running, so and so is not running along with me, and they just leave me. You want to run? And they just, instead of helping, instead of lifting up, instead of quickening your steps, they just stay there. And they might even giggle, laugh. Look at him, just running. He doesn't know, we don't agree with him. And because of that, many people stop running and they start regretting. You will not regret. You have chosen that which is good. Nobody will take that away from you in Jesus' name. Martha might complain about Mary, and he might even push the complaint to the Lord, the Master, the friend of the home, and say, hey, why is Mary just there? And they mention your name. Keep on running. Don't bother. The Lord will defend you. Martha, Martha, you are combat with many things, but one thing is necessary. And Mary has chosen that thing which shall not be taken away from her. Running without regretting. In Hebrews chapter 12, I'm reading from verse 1. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run, let us run, let us run with patience, with perseverance, the race that is set before us. Look at verse 2. In verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Is standing without reconsidering. You stand with Christ. You stand in Christ. And you stand through the grace that Christ has poured into your life. And you stand without reconsidering. Should I move on? Should I keep standing? Without reconsidering. I thought everybody would cheer me up because I think I'm doing the greatest thing that any man could do or had ever done. But instead of helping you, instead of encouraging, instead of getting you motivated and ready to do more, they look down on you, they cast some aspersions on you, and you hear some of the stories they tell, untrue stories about you. And that makes a person to reconsider. Should I move on? You're moving on. I said, you're moving on. Moses was standing. Korah, Dathan, and Abiram They called him names, but he didn't reconsider. Should I not? Miriam and Aaron, they were finding fault after all. Big shot, great man, but he married an Ethiopian woman. Moses did not know he was going to be the leader of the children of Israel. He was in the backside of the desert, and he had to marry, and so he got married. He had married. What do you want him to do? Now the call of God came, and Aaron and Miriam gossiping, backbiting, stabbing the man at the back. But Moses kept standing without reconsidering. God has called you. The hand of the Lord is upon you.
Amen.
You have been standing. You have more grace to stand more.
Amen.
Discouragement might come. You will not turn back.
Amen.
Because you are standing without reconsidering. In Ephesians chapter 6 verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Verse 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Verse 16, and it says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. T, trusting without recanting. Recanting. You're not telling the devil, I'm sorry. You're not telling the, you know, your home people, I'm sorry. You keep on trusting the Lord. And you do not tell the enemy. The enemy says, I don't approve of this. Change. You don't say, I'm sorry to Nebuchadnezzar. You don't say, I'm sorry to the representatives of Satan. Give me a good amen.
Amen.
Daniel chapter 3. You keep on trusting the Lord. Verse 15. Now, if ye be ready at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, no. Nebuchadnezzar, if we do that, it's not well. It's only when we hear the music of heaven, spiritual, that leads us to worship the only God there is to worship, then it is well. And he said, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, those are my brothers. I said, those are my brothers. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they are my colleagues. Say it if you are sure of that. They answered and said unto the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful, worried, fretful, anxious to answer thee in this matter. Verse 17, if it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O King. So you knew there should be an amen.
Amen.
Look at you here, you upholding without retracting. Upholding without retracting. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 13. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 13. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Verse 14, that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us, thee visiting without reproaching. You visit the sick, don't accuse them. You're sick because of this? No. Visiting without reproaching. You visit the poor. You go with food in your hand. You go with something that you're going to leave behind without reproaching them, without looking down on them. Visiting without reproaching. In James chapter 1, verse 27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and the widow in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. W is watching against retrogressing. Watching against retrogressing. Let grace be added. Let love be added. Let good works be added. And let exciting service be added. Don't go back. Watch. Don't retrogress. Matthew chapter 26, verse 41. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. You will not retrogress.
Amen.
Excelling and renewing. 1 Corinthians 12, 31. Excel, excel, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you the more excellent way. The more excellent way. Don't just follow an ordinary way. That's not good enough for you. Don't just follow a beaten path. That's not good enough for you. Don't follow the multitude. You must be distinguished. And yet, I show unto you the more excellent way. Chapter 14, we're reading from verse 12. In chapter 14, verse 12, even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. Why? Yielding and reconnecting. Yielding and reconnecting. You know, when you have been with a person or with people, with churches or with your church, and you have connected very well, and something happened that maybe shouldn't have happened. Something happened which is to test your tenacity. Something happened which is to test your commitment. And you take that thing that happened, you allow that to disconnect you from The people is people that God has united you with, because you're not willing to yield and yield your opinion and yield your own idea and yield your own desires. Yield, you know. Why accidents happen? You know, a driver is driving and is coming this way. The opposite, the one driving from the opposite also coming that way. And this one says, I am on the right track. He is on the wrong track. And I'm not going to bend for him. I'm not going to yield for him. The other fellow said, look at this man. He doesn't know me. That when I follow a path, I follow that path, even if they say I am wrong, I will save my faith. And they are coming, there will be collision. You might even die. You might injure yourself. You might bring a permanent injury upon yourself. But what do we do? We yield. I've told you before, John Wesley was riding on a horse. Another person who didn't like the Wesleyan message, he was a minister too, he was coming the opposite direction. And John Wesley had the right of way. The other man was wrong. And so while they were, you know, on their horses and they're coming, the other fellow shouted and said, I never yield or bend for a fool, calling John Wesley a fool. John Wesley replied, I always do. The meaning of that is, you don't bend for a fool. You think I am the fool, but I bend for the fool. You are the fool. You know, even holiness preachers have a sense of humor. And, you know, John Wesley went aside, and the fellow, the fool, had his way. Fools always have their way, but we never hear of them in life. What's the name of that other man? I don't know. Or the name of our hero here, John Wesley, because he yielded. Yielding and reconnecting. We're told in James chapter 4, James chapter 4 verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God. That's yielding. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. He will tell me now. Tell me now. Most people I know flee from the devil. Most people I know, they feel they're not the match for the devil. They flee from the devil. But the people who yield to God, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We're telling, pack your load and go. Zion re-entering and regaining. You make up your mind, this year you'll never enter any grounds anywhere except you can exalt the God of Zion. In Psalm 84 verse 7, they go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion, appearing before God. This year you go from strength to strength. Yes. This is Zion. You enter and re-enter, and you regain your position, your place in Zion. And the Lord is promising you this year, as you re-enter and regain, you'll go from strength to strength. Psalm 87, I'm reading from verse 2. It is 7 verse 2. The Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. The Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. The dwelling of Jacob, the houses, good. But the Lord loveth Zion, where he is worshipped, where he is honored, where his word is preached. The Lord loveth this place more than every individual house we came from. And coming here, coming to the house of God in your district, in the group, or here when it comes to your term, your turn, the Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. And it tells us in verse 5, look at verse 5. In verse 5 it says, and of Zion shall be said, this and that man was born in her, and the highest himself shall establish her. The Lord will establish you.
Amen.
You now have the alphabet of a happy new year. You have the alphabet of a higher new year. You have the alphabet of the investing new year. This year will be totally different. And all the negative things that happened in the previous years, they are all cleared away from your life in Jesus' name. Blessing, goodness, joy, abundance, your life this year in Jesus' name. You will ask and receive. You believe and you realize. You cleave and you reproduce. You decree and it is done in your life in Jesus' name. Stand up now and pray a kind of prayer you had never prayed. Pray that this year will be that year of fulfillment all through your life. Talk to the Lord. The Lord is hearing your prayer.